Then Mordecai told them to return this answer to Esther. Do not flatter yourself that you escape in the king's palace any more than other Jews. For if thou altogether withhold thy peace at this time, then their enlargement and deliverance arise for the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. Father, we pray that you bless your word to us this morning as we come together to share, as we come together to look into your plan for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. My topic this morning is taken from that word, first Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. I'm being called to question. You can hear my voice, can't you? Yeah. Yeah. The topic this morning is a time like this. And we're going to be looking at Joseph's experience. A time like this. It's interesting because whether we like it or not, the world is getting to that point of a time like this. The world is getting to that point of a time like this. And the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When that word came to Esther, it was at a point when there was a situation, and it was a lovely word that came to her as well. Joseph had the same experience. And we as Christians in the world today, we are having the same experience. A time like this. It's interesting because with the news this week, with the, abortion or no abortion, right? The voting island, for all that we've had, the decision that the Westminster is going to take for Northern Ireland because of the change in Ireland, all those things are becoming very important for us to remind ourselves why we are called Christians and why we are here. We are here because God has called us to be here. Amen. And it's interesting because when a child is born, normally parents will always wish the child well. No matter how bad they are, they will always have a vision for the child. As parents, you will always have a plan for your child. You have a child, you always start thinking when he's 5, he will go to school. When he's when he gets to the age of 10 or 11, he will go to secondary school. When he gets to a certain age, 18, he will go to university. He will do all those things. That is a plan of parents. And even at the beginning of childhood, there's a bonding between parents. When you're winning a child, there's a bonding that goes on between a mother and a child, although that is changing now, because sometimes mothers don't win parents. I mean, parents don't win child anymore. I don't know, but it's a new world we live in. You think of the education of the child. You think of the informal education, teaching the child to speak, to talk, to behave, to table manners, how to do things. This is what parents do. All these things encompasses how parents groom a child. How they that word is another word that is not allowed again. It's not politically correct. You don't groom anymore. Right. Train a child, exactly. But then, what is wrong with the word? How the parents train a child to become someone who is able to stand up in the society. This is done. Because we all know that there will be a time in life when the child will be faced with challenges. We do all those training, not because we want to overload a child with a lot of information, but we load them with this information because we know there will be a time when they will need to dig into those information to meet the challenges that come their way. And whether they like it or not, the challenges will come. Because, and as Christians, that's what Jesus said to us. He said, you are in this world. You are not of this world. But in this world that you're in, you will see trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So basically, he has prepared us. And as a child, we prepare, as parents, we prepare our children for this stage. Then the child himself, when he gets to a certain stage, has to prepare himself or herself for this, for the challenges he's going to face. I'm not going to go for an interview for my son. He has to prepare himself how to attend interviews. I'm not going to sit in an exam for him. He has to prepare himself on how to write his exams and how to make sure that he passes. All I can do is sit with him at home and make sure that he reads his book and then get himself ready for the exams. So as parents, I do my part, and as a child, he does his part. He sets his own goals and aspirations, what he wants to become. I can't become what he wants to become for him. He has to become what he wants to become by setting his own goal and aspiration. This is the same with us and God. Why I'm going on and emphasizing on this is because I want us to realize that our relationship with God is not abstract. It is a day-to-day relationship. Remember when you first became a Christian, how zealous you were to read the scripture, how zealous you were to find the word of God. But then you start going on, and that zeal starts dying. But that zeal should not die. Because with that zeal, you're creating your own goal and aspiration. You're giving yourself the understanding of God. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible says, God was saying, I know the thought I have towards you, a thought of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. That is the word of God to you. There are many Bible verses that shows how God set out his plan for us. So many Bible verses. Psalm 32, verse 8. Let's just look at that quickly. Psalm 32, verse 8, and this is what he says. He says, I will instruct you and teach you the way thou shalt go. I will guide you with mine eyes. That is part of God's plan. Psalm 33, verse 18, this is what he says. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercies. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17, and this is what he says. 48:17, he says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which lead thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So basically, all this is the plan of God as to how he wants to lead us and guide us. The greatest plan, the greatest of it all, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The greatest of it all is the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation. Galatians 4, verse 4. This is what it says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of son. That they might receive the adoption of son. But even with this plan, he still gave us free will. Just as every child has a free will. Just as I can only teach my child to read his book, but I can't write his exam for him. Just as I can teach my child how to be courteous with people out there, but I can't walk around the street with him and watch him how he behaves outside. Just as I can teach my child how to sit around the table and eat, but I can't be there all the time when he's having dinner with other people. Just as I can teach my child how to present himself, but I can't be there all the time to make sure that he's presentable. That is the way with us and God. God has given us the plan and purpose for our life, but he has given us a free will. I can tell my son, don't wear a rumpled trouser, but I can't force him to iron it. He knows what I'm talking about. So. We're just exactly, or clean your room, and I can't sit down there and say, I have to watch him clean it. That is the way it is with us and God. God has given us this opportunity to be who we are in him. Amen. He has given us the salvation. And you know what he did? He even paid the ultimate price for that salvation. But then, like he was saying to us this morning, how are we relating with that salvation? Are we continuing in sin and says grace should abound? Are we still holding on to our old nature and thinking that we can work together, the two natures of old and new can work together? No. Jesus said, you cannot put a new wine in an old skin. That is his word. A new wine in an old skin. You can. So basically, he has the reformation and the transformation that Christ did for us is for us to take on a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it is clear from God's work with time and season. So it is clear with God's work that he had a plan for us. A plan to bring us to an expected end. And a plan that, an interesting part of the plan is that it is a season of planting and harvesting. It's a season of planting and harvesting. God is planting into us his salvation. He's loading us with his word. He's preparing us for a greater thing to come. He's giving us this word for us to be able to know what his plan and purpose is. He's giving us the Holy Spirit to teach us and to remind us of things that are his and what his plans are. But it's now left for us to seek more of the Holy Spirit. It's now left for us to know more of the word of God and to allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it in our heart. I love the message last Sunday when he says that we're not dealing with Jesus of Bethlehem. We're not dealing with Jesus of Nazareth. We're now dealing with Jesus who rose from the dead, who is living and forever remain. So Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we need to know that it's that same Jesus that is forever, and we need to grow with him. Because if we continue to remember Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, a baby in Nazareth, then we're not seeing Jesus that has done the redemption. So we're only doing Christmas festival, Easter festival, but we're not remembering what those festivals are bringing to us. So a time like this, there's a plenty time that we might, and period that it might be difficult for us to understand some of these things, but God is taking us through a journey of life. You might be asking yourself, what is this? What are you talking about? What I'm talking about is the fact that you've been saved, you need to start rising up for the salvation of others. You have not been given this Bible and the Holy Spirit just to come and sit down here. I say this all the time. It's not about filling churches. It's about reaching out. Amen. It's about touching souls. God's plan has a plan for every child born into the kingdom. Every one of us. The moment we receive Christ, there is a plan for us. We cannot all stand in front of the pew here and bring the word. But we all have the word. Amen. We cannot all stand in front of the choir and sing. If they even employ some of us to come and sing, I think everyone will know what will happen. People will start running out of the church. But out there, we can share that love of God. Amen. We can tell people how that great love that brought salvation plan to us. We can. I enjoy it when people see you on the street and say, why are you smiling? Because you're smiling because there's a joy inside of you that's making you smile. And you can use that to reach out. Why are you behaving like this? I'm behaving like this because I know one Savior who has saved me. When I read the Azuri revival thing, it makes me, it gladdens my heart that people that are not literate, people that don't even have an understanding of the word, they are part of the people that were able to preach the gospel that brought a great revival into our world today. So for every child, there is a plan. Born into the kingdom, there is a plan. And I said to you that for a time like this, I'm using Joseph's experience. And I want us to look at Joseph's life. Like Joseph, we go through process to perfect the will of God in our life. We go through process. Joseph had to go through that process. When Jacob had Joseph, Jacob, as a father, knew him as a son. Jacob saw him as a child. Genesis 49, verse 22 to 26. Let's just look at that quickly. Genesis 29, 22 to 46. This is what he says. And Joseph is a fruitful. This is the prayer of Jacob for Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branch run over the walls. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the army of his hand were made mighty by the hand of the mighty God. Even by the God by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under the breast of under the light under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of progenitors, unto the uttermost bond of the everlasting hill. They shall be on the hand of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that separate from his brethren. Jacob, in this prayer, was in a nutshell talking about Joseph's experience. Joseph, as a child, went through a lot of stages. Remember, he was a child with a coat of many colors, and he was very happy that his father had sewn him a coat of many colors. And anybody that's listened to Dolly Parton's songs of Coat of Many Colors, it's about Dolly Parton was singing about Coat of Many Colors because the parents did not have money to buy clothes. So they use all the patches of the whole clothes they have to sew clothes for her. But Joseph had a coat of many colors. And he was a dreamer as well. He had a dream of a great thing that God was going to do. He knew the glory that was ahead of him. He saw the glory in the early stage of his life. Genesis 37, verse 6. Yeah. And secondly, when he saw the dream, he was faced with opposition. Does that sound well to any of us at all? When you became a Christian, it might not be as bad as in the UK, but it is as well, because in the Middle East, we hear the story of someone becoming a Christian and being ostracized from the family. They're even ready to kill the person that is a Christian. But in Joseph's case as well, his brother were like, "You're going to be a king over us? Where? Wow." And because of that, they sold him to slavery. And he eventually ended up in Egypt. But that was a plan of God, for him to be in Egypt. Even though he ended up in Egypt, that's a fourth one. Even though he ended up in Egypt, he did not allow Egypt to rule him. He had a goal and will not allow anything to distract him from that goal. Philippians 2 verse 8. That's Jesus' experience. Philippians 2 verse 8. He says, "For the goal that was set ahead of him, he did not." Philippians 2, 8. He says, this is about Jesus. "And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, because of the goal that was set ahead of him." What was Jesus' goal? The goal that Jesus had ahead of him was to redeem man unto God. And he did not allow anything to distract him. Even when people were telling him to leave the goal, he was not ready to. He was making sure that he keep his focus on what God has planned for him. And because he did not allow anything to distract him, Joseph was able to conquer Egypt. A slave became the king. He did not only fulfill his dream, he saved his generation. And sometimes we forget that it wasn't Joseph's family alone that Joseph saved. Joseph saved the world at that time, because everyone was coming to Egypt to buy the food that Joseph was able to preserve. How does this make any sense to us? It makes sense to us because we are now in a world that needs a Joseph. We are now in a world that needs an Esther. And what are the virtues that we can take from Joseph? Joseph knew the purpose of God and he keyed into it. So the question to you and I this morning is, do we know the purpose of God? Do you know why God has saved you? Do you even know why you are in this church at this time? Do you know why you are a Christian in this present world? Let me give you a list of things that are against Christian. Number one is that every law that is made now is against Christian faith. Every law that is made now, not just in England, every law that is made now in the world is against Christian faith. And you are a Christian in this world. Situation around you is against your faith, because now it is no longer cool to be a Christian. It's no longer easy in a workplace to be a Christian. Everyone is going to derail you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to ask you questions that will want to trip you. Political correctness is against Christian faith. So where does that leave you? If you say you're a Christian, where does that leave you? What is the plan of God for you? First, when Jesus was going, what did he say? "Go ye into the world and make disciples of all men." First mission, commission, go ye into the world and make disciples of all men. So basically, that's your commission. You have to make disciples of all men. But you're now in a world where everything is against your faith. So how do you then fulfill that commission? He's not going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to do it yourself. And his promise is that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Just as the three Hebrew brothers, you need to take the step of faith into that fire. I'm telling you this because the world is becoming more hostile to what you believe. The world is becoming more hostile to what you hold firm to. Are you going to drop it and forget your dream and forget your mission? Or you are going to stand firm and say, even if this God will not save me, even if this God that I serve will not save me, I will not bow to that your idol. You know what happened with that? When they refused to bow to the idol and they were thrown into the fire, into the furnace fire, what happened? The king saw Jesus. A pagan king saw Jesus. So the plan and purpose of God is for you to show Jesus to the world. It's for you to show the world that there is a Savior who is able to rescue the world. And if you are not going to fulfill that plan, then you're not standing to be counted. It's time for every one of us to stand up and be counted. Joseph kept faith in temptation. That is one of the greatest virtues that Joseph had. Joseph had opportunity to compromise his faith. And if he had done that, I can assure you, he would not have become a king. He had the temptation of Potiphar's wife, who wanted him to have sex with him. But basically, Joseph was like, no, I will not do anything against the will of God. And because of that, from being a slave, he became a prisoner. It became worse, didn't it? But he kept on. But from prison, he became a king. So, just as the three Hebrew brothers, from refusing to bow to a king, they ended up in the furnace, in the fire. And from the fire, they brought about a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the king made the proclamation that everyone in this nation believe in the God of the Hebrews. This is what you need to show to the world. And you need to understand that you have been called into the kingdom for a time like this. You have been called into this kingdom for this season and this hour. Brothers and sisters, I don't want anyone to be afraid of everything that is happening around us. But as you know, and as I know as well, we will rise up in temptation. We will rise up in persecution. We are in this world. We are not of this world. In this world, we will see trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Lord bless you this morning. And the Lord keep you. And the Lord give you the strength to be able to show forth his glory to this dying world. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit to be able to stand this trial time. We need a word in a season to be able to stand this trial time. And the word in a season will only come by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be encouraged. Do not look at the storm that is happening around you. Do not look at any law that has been passed. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God bless you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.